Welcome to the Morning Inspiration Podcast with Pastor Walt. At Chosen City Church, we are chosen to overcome, to build, and to be like Jesus. We pray that this podcast will empower you to do the same on today.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. We thank you this morning. We kneel down before you this morning. God, I thank you for all of my sisters and brothers from various spaces in places that are joining us, God, they are joining us in all of these platforms that you've given us. So I ask you, God, that you meet us everywhere we may be, meet us individually, meet us collectively, have your way in this space, God. Speak like only you can, heal like only you can, touch like only you can. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we're careful to give your name all of the glory, honor, and praise. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, family. Listen, for this week, we're trying to do something special. Kind of want to do the best that we can to look at the life of Jesus every day during Holy Week. Some of the days, it's more exactly actually what happening, and some of it was kind of hard to tell what was on one day or the next day. But nevertheless, we're going to try to follow the scriptures and look at what God was doing every day. So today, we look at what the Lord was doing on Holy Monday. So the scriptures that we'll be looking at today are Matthew, the 12th chapter, looking at verse 12 through 22. And the word of the Lord, I'll break it up. I'm going to read it in segments. So we'll deal with the first segment and then we'll get to the next. So we'll start out Matthew 21, verse 12 through 17. And it reads as follows. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" And leaving them, he went out to the city of Bethany and lodged there. I want to start right there. And our subject for today is hope for the house of prayer and its people. Hope for the house of prayer and its people. Family, I tell you, Jesus has just made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And one of the first things we see is that he visits the temple. He's been there before, but this time is different. He walks in, he observes some things happening, some marketplace activities going on in the temple. For the record, the issue was not that the marketplace activity was going on in the temple. Jesus was not speaking against economic activity per se, but what they were doing was out of order. Specifically, at that time, in order to conduct sacrifice, you needed pigeons, you needed those type of things. So if you were coming to the temple to offer a sacrifice to ask God for his blessings, ask God for forgiveness and things of that nature, you have to have a approved animal, right? It had to be approved and by the priest and by the religious leaders and things of that nature. While you could certainly get an animal that was approved on the outside of the temple for one price, what would happen is the temple workers, if you will say, "Nah, those animals are not good enough. You got to buy your pigeon meat here," right? And some scholars say they were selling it at a rate at 20 times the cost. Did y'all just hear what I said? They were selling them at, some theologians say, 20 times the cost of at the temple. So they was hustling people, y'all. The church had to be careful. We can't hustle people. And so they're hustling people. And Jesus is really frustrated, so frustrated that we see a physical response where he overturns the the tables of the money changers, and he starts to our favorite saying around these parts, Jesus starts to move some furniture because he's so frustrated with what he's saying. And he says to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." He is speaking prophetically about what the temple and what the church is supposed to be. Can I take a few seconds and just focus on the fact that the church of our living God has to always be a house of prayer. It always has to be a place where people gather to connect with God. It has to be a place where God is experienced and God is glorified. That is always our objective. Every time we come into the house, to set an atmosphere where the presence of the Lord is in the place. Yes, we understand that the Holy Spirit dwells within believers, but when we come together for corporate worship as instructed by the Lord, with a little bit of God that's in me and a little bit of God that's within you, and we ask God to just fill that place, it should always be a place of prayer. It should always be a place of connection. Prayer is a two-way street. Y'all know that, don't you? Prayer is not always just about what we say to God, even though we are commanded to use our lips and use our hearts to speak to God. Real prayer only occurs when the second prong takes place. It starts with when we speak from our minds and we speak from our heart and we speak from the fruit of our lips, but it does not get completed until we hear from heaven. That's why when we come into the place, and whether it's through the worship music and whether it's through the preached word, I need your prayer to be complete. I need you to be able to hear from heaven. I tell you, it the joy of my soul is when people come to church and they say, "Pastor Walt, I heard something today. You didn't even know this was going on, or the worship that I experienced today. You had no idea, because I didn't need to know, because it was God speaking directly to your situation, because the house is a house of prayer. Anybody ever came into the house of God and experienced God speak directly to your situation? Jesus said, that's the point. That's the objective. Everything else is ancillary. Have fun, have a good time, do other stuff. But the primary objective is this is a house of prayer. This is a house that we have to keep holy. It's a house that we set apart. Everything is not for the church, right? It's not that everything is bad, but everything is just not for the church. This place is set up for God to be able to do what God would like to do. And the primary thing that God wants to do is draw nearer to his people. So what happens is Jesus shows a model of what happens when the house of prayer gets out of order, is that he had to move some furniture. But then he goes a little bit further and shows us what happens when the house of the true and living God is in order. After he does the furniture moving, after he flips some stuff over, when you look at verse 14, now that the house is in order, if you will, and it's supposed to be a house of prayer, what happens next is that the people that need access to God the most feel comfortable coming in. One of the things that happens is that when the house of prayer is not in order, when it's not set up right, the people that need God the most don't feel comfortable coming in. But in verse 14, since Jesus has did some furniture moving, he's did some rearranging, the people that need God the most feel like comfortable coming in. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him where? In the temple, and he healed them. Those individuals weren't comfortable coming in before, but because they probably couldn't feel God's spirit there. They weren't comfortable coming in before because probably they didn't have the money for the blessing that they needed. Because if you're blind and lame, how are you able to work and make some money? And so when Jesus sets the house in order, now the people that need him feel comfortable coming in. That's my prayer for every church across this nation, that the people feel comfortable coming in, because the people need God like they never needed him before. That's why Jesus said, rearrange whatever you got to arrange in your house of worship, shift whatever has to be shifted, rearrange your order of service, do whatever you got to do so that this is a house of prayer, so that the people that need him the most feel comfortable coming in. And so when they are comfortable coming in, now the church can do what the church is most effective at doing. These individuals, through the hand of God, they experience a healing. The church is still a place of healing. And I want to encourage everybody. That's why I call this one Hope for the House of Prayer and its People. It is my hope that all of the houses of prayer across the land are restored and revived and rejuvenated as a place of healing, as a place of people coming in and getting the deliverance and transformation that we need. Or for you were in worship with us yesterday, the healer met us in worship. And I saw so many people at the altar giving themselves away for God. And that has to be the prayer for all of the houses of hope. Matter of fact, I'm asking you in this, the last week of Lenten season, pray for the houses of hope that we will get ourselves in order to such a way that we will continue to see the hand of God. We will continue to see the move of God. But watch this, church, when you are doing what you're supposed to do, when you're getting things in order, while there is a crowd that is excited about what God is doing, you always have to be mindful of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes. They saw the wonderful work that God was doing. They saw Jesus turn the tables over and get the house of order. And now they saw the people on the outside who needed God the most coming on the inside. And now people are getting frustrated. They're frustrated first and foremost because now they hear people crying out once again, Hosanna to the Son of David. We understand that the word Hosanna literally means save me. It literally means rescue me. It literally means help me. If you don't show up right now, I'm not going to make it. But it's not a prayer. It is a part of praise of desperation, but it's also a praise of expectation. When we say Hosanna, we're not only saying that we need God to move right now, it is also saying that we know that he is going to do it. And so now the Pharisees and Sadducees are in their feelings because Jesus is being Jesus and doing what only he can do. And so now they're trying to say, we got to do something about it because now the children are praising him. Listen, I have hope for the house of prayer and its people because one of the things that Jesus showed us on this Holy Monday is the power of the prayer of our babes. Listen, family, we have to show our children not just how to do a great Easter speech, not just how to sing a good song in the choir. We have to teach our children the power of praising God. But the only way they're going to be encouraged to praise God is if they know who he is. We have to just continue to give them a little bit of a spoonful here and there and show them the hand of God in everything that's happening in their life. And at some point, they'll praise God, not because mama told them to. They'll praise God because it's in their heart. I'll never forget, family, the first time as a child, I got emotional at church. I was at an Easter play, and it hit me. It was a Good Friday Easter play. My mama used to write the play. And I remember when Jesus was coming down that aisle at the Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church, and it hit me that, oh, this thing is real. He even do nothing, and they was carrying that cloth, and it hit me, and some tears welled up in my eyes, and I want to tell you that Jesus is saying there is hope for the house of prayer, that we will raise a generation of children that know who he is, that we'll raise a generation of children that know how to praise him, because God says out of the mouth of infants and babes, there is a perfect praise. And then he leaves there, and he goes a little bit further. We're talking about hope for the house of prayer and his people, because that's what Jesus was doing. So we've seen him now. We've gotten the house in order by getting the things out that weren't supposed to be there. Now the people that are on the outside and need to come in can come in. And now we see a new generation of children that are getting excited about Jesus. And then we go a little further. Watch this, y'all. There's still more hope for the house of prayer. The next hope for the house of prayer is that the house of prayer and its people become fruitful. After Jesus leaves from doing this ministry, now let's look what happens at verse 18. I'm in Matthew 21, family, for those that came in late, walking through the whole thing, looking at these things that Jesus did on this Holy Monday of Holy Week. Check this out. In the morning, verse 18, as Jesus returned to Jerusalem, he was hungry and he noticed a fig tree beside the road. Cool. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. Can I talk to you about the fig tree? While this seems like a harsh punishment, it's one of the very few times that we see Jesus use his ability and his spiritual power and his authority to do something that appears to be destructive. And even though it looked to be a destructive on the outside, really it was for our upbuilding, and really it was for a lesson and a warning to the house of hope and its people. Jesus is hungry, and he sees this fig tree on the side of the road. He had an expectation that there should be figs on the tree, but there were only leaves for various reasons. Perhaps it was a time of the season where there should have been figs. Perhaps the figs should have understood the time, signs of the times, and produced some figs. Nevertheless, Jesus had an expectation for this fig tree to be fruitful, but instead of finding figs, he only found leaves. Can I ask a question? It's more reflective than accusatory. When Jesus comes your way and he is looking for the figs, he's looking for the fruit, he's looking for the product of your life, because he has blessed you with amazing spiritual gifts. He has blessed you with amazing spiritual authority. When Jesus comes into and has an inspection and has an examination of you, will Jesus find figs, or will he only find leaves? You do know that people can't live off leaves. Leaves look good, leaves smell good, but leaves have no substance. When Jesus looks at Chosen City Church, the question is, Lord, the prayer is, Lord, when you see us, God, I pray that we always have figs and we just don't have leaves. When Jesus looks at your place of worship, is your place of worship a place of figs where people are being fed, or is it a place of leaves where they leave there hungry? Jesus said this was so critical that he was going to show an example of what happens when you're not fruitful the way that you're supposed to do. He says to this tree, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. It reminds us of that book that we've talked about called Necessary Endings. Anybody remember we talked about a few weeks ago in the book Necessary Endings? Dr. Henry Cloud says the things that are in our life that are not fruitful, they have to come to an end. He gave us an example of a rosebud. Y'all remember us talking about it, don't you? He said a rosebud could have a variety, a rose flower could have a variety of different buds. It could have one that is blossoming. It could have one that is kind of blossoming, but it's kind of dying in the middle. And it can have the one that is dead. And it says this, that the gardener has to make some important decisions. It says, first of all, it has to cut off everything that is dead, because even though the bud itself is dead, it is still draining nutrients and keeping the blossom that wants to explode from blossoming. And so some stuff that is not fruitful has to come to an end. May I ask you to examine yourself this week and say, Lord, what is not fruitful? What has to come to an end? There's some stuff that is happening. There's some stuff that I'm doing that's maybe not bad, but it's not fruitful. It ain't helping nobody. It ain't helping me. It's more of a burden than it is a blessing. God, what are the things that must come to the end? And maybe there are some things that are topsy-turvy. It could go one way or another. At some point, if the thing does not blossom, guess what? It has to come to an end so that everything else can blossom in your life. And I want to encourage you today that there is hope for the house of prayer and its people, that in 2023 and beyond, we won't be just a church of leaves. We won't be a people of leaves. I wonder if the pandemic was a warning to us to get ourselves together, because there are people that need the figs. There are people that need the gospel. There are people that need hope. And Jesus said on that holy Monday, he had to make sure that we understood the essential element of us being fruitful in this season of our lives. And so as he has calls for this fig tree to wither up because it's not being fruitful, the disciples were amazed when they saw this, and they asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly. The disciples really missed the message, in my humble opinion, because it was really talking about fruitfulness, but they are so enamored with the power of the true and living God. And maybe if I was there, I too would probably have been amazed if I saw a tree wither up before my very eyes. And they wanted to know, Jesus, how did you do that? But Jesus didn't criticize them for perhaps not focusing on the other lesson of fruitfulness. He teaches them, oh, you're interested in the power. Well, let me tell you something about that. Look at what he said, Matthew verse 12, verse 21. He says this, then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. I think that's a good place to hang our hat as we try to land an airplane here in just a few minutes, and remind you that at the end of the day, on this holy Monday, after Jesus has reminded the house of hope that you gotta stop hustling people. You got to stop. We got to be who God has called us to be. After he has reminded us that once you get yourself together, the people that need God the most will start running into that place. And then after he reminded us of his power and his expectation of fruitfulness, the disciples want to know, how can they be more like Jesus? Jesus said, listen, it starts with faith. My sisters and brothers, there are something that you need to do this week, and it's going to require you to have faith and not to doubt. Can I encourage you to do something today? Challenge yourself to have faith and not to doubt. Do you know one of the ways that when I have doubt that is fighting me, you know, some of the things that I do, I go and I be extra on purpose. Listen, I'll tell you, when I first started my business, before I even ever passed the bar exam, y'all, I had to be extra on purpose. Before I ever passed the bar exam, y'all know what I did? I went and hired somebody to make me a logo. Yeah, I didn't even know if that was going to ultimately be my logo, but I had to be faithful on purpose. I had to be extra on purpose. They said, bro, how you out here not studying it and out here buying logos, man? You ain't even passed the exam yet. I said, you just don't understand. But me, this is a faith move. You see, I got to take some steps that show the enemy that I'm knowing that this going to happen. It may not seem like much to you, but by me simply purchasing this logo, what I am saying to my flesh that's trying to doubt, what I'm saying to my enemy and the critics, that this thing is going to come to pass. And I need to talk to somebody today and encourage you to make that type of faith move. I need to encourage somebody today to tell you to trust God like that. You know that you hadn't been approved just yet, but you're going to go ahead and walk with expectation as if it's already done. You're going to go ahead and already get ready because you know that you've been praying for that new house and you know you're still in the underwriting process. I tell you what to do. Go out there today. Don't spend a whole lot of money, but get you a set of drapes for your new house because you have expectation what God is going to do. As a matter of fact, can I talk to a single out there? Listen, me and my wife, we just bought these books, The Power of a Praying Wife and the Power of a Praying Husband. I want to talk to some singles out there. Singles, what I want you to do, I want you to buy that set of books today. Did you hear what Pastor Walt just said? I want you to buy it today, not tomorrow. Don't delay. Buy it today. Buy it today, because what you are saying to the enemy, what you're saying to your own flesh, this thing gonna happen. And so when they get down on that one knee, you won't be surprised. You're gonna reach in your purse and you're gonna pull out that book. Brothers, you're gonna reach in your book, man, and you're going to pull out that book and say, I knew this day was coming. I wasn't surprised by it. I want to encourage somebody today to walk with faith, because Jesus said to the disciples that if you have faith and don't doubt, I pray against doubt, because doubt is the thing that keeps trying to defeat every last one of us, y'all. Doubt comes at me too. I don't want y'all to think that doubt doesn't come at me, but I fight with doubt. I fight against doubt with everything that's in my being, because I know the enemy has no power over me. The only thing that he could possibly do is make me doubt the move of God. But devil, you are a liar. You are defeated. The doubt would not defeat me, because God said that if I don't doubt, I can do things like he did. That means I can end some stuff that needed to be ended. That means I can speak some stuff that needs to be spoken. And God said I can move a mountain if I don't have any doubt. It's right there in the word of God. I want to encourage somebody that needs to move a mountain this week. I want to encourage somebody that has a situation in front of them. The Bible says on this Holy Monday that you can speak to your mountain and say you can be lifted up and thrown out to the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Yes, I'm not teaching out of context. The context is true. What we ask for has to be in alignment with the will of God. That is very true. That's why we have to read the whole Bible. But what I'm telling you is, it is our responsibility to ask in accordance with his will. That's why we teach, and are starting to teach, about praying in the Spirit, because if you learn how to pray in the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is guiding your ask, what you ask for will be in alignment with his will, and you already better get ready. Can I get an invitation to the wedding? You don't mind if I come to the wedding? Can I come to your home blessing? There's a few home blessings out there for a few of y'all I'm supposed to be doing anyway. Can I come to the baby shower? Right? Can I come to the grand opening of the business? Can I come to the next thing? Can I come to the promotion party? You don't mind if the pastor come through? I won't wear my collar. I'll be real cool. I'll have a good time. I won't sing in a microphone. I just want to be there to celebrate what God is doing in your life, because you have learned on this Holy Monday that if you are in alignment with the will of God, you can see God do some amazing things in your life. Holy Monday was an amazing Monday, y'all. Holy Monday was powerful. I thank God for saying this, that there is hope for the house of prayer and his people. And I pray that we, as the house of prayer, will be what God has called us to be, so that everybody can experience them. And I pray for hope for you, because God is saying there is hope. You're going to need this power. Maybe that's why Jesus was not he went out of his way to let them know, because he knew that his time was coming. He had just a few days left now. So he needed them to know, when he was physically absent, that they had authority and they had power to do and be what he had called them to be. And that's what I want you to know this week, fam. You have authority and a power to be and do everything that God has for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you today. We thank you today. God, I want to pray specifically for houses of hope across the world, God, that these, all of us, God, will examine ourselves, and anything that's happening that's not in accordance with your will, forgive us, God. Let us remove those things so that the people that need you the most, Father God, will come rushing in, Father God, to see you, God. They come to rush to see you, God. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for what you're doing. God, I pray for all of us to be evangelists this week, and invite people to worship this week, and invite people to connect with you this week all across the land, God. And when people come, show out, God, show out in an amazing way, that people who haven't felt you in a while will feel you like before. God, I pray that you send a revival on Easter, God. I pray that you send your move and your power, God, on Easter in such a way that many will give their lives to you. God, I pray the lessons here that were learned, that if we ask in your name, that it will be so long as this is according to your will. Teach us to pray in your will. Teach us to pray in the Spirit, so that we can get yeses, Father God, when we ask for certain things. God, I thank you in advance and in expectation for what you're about to do in the lives of some people. God, we love you on today. We praise you on today. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Have your way. Let the people of God say together, amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory, family. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. God bless, and go in peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Morning Inspiration with Pastor Walt podcast. This and other podcasts, as well as our live Sunday morning service, can be found on all of our streaming platforms, and are also available on the new Chosen City Church app, which is available on both the Apple Store and Google Play. We would love to see you in person on Sunday morning at either our 8 a.m. or 10:15 services. We are located at 13925 Irwin Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope to see you soon, and have a blessed day.